from everyone, myself included. Oftentimes, however, it gets too hard and it's impossible to breathe properly. I can't look Mum in the eye and lie. I can't face Dad and Grandpa and pretend I'm their little girl anymore. I think the Glinden King they raised for 19 years perished with Devlin a few weeks ago. And I can't face the fact that they'll learn that soon. That they'll look at my face and see an imposter. A disgrace to the King name. It's why I'm here. A last attempt to expel the charge building in my body. The air frizzles my honey-coloured hair that's streaked with natural blonde balayage and stuffs it in my eyes. I flip it back and rub my palm on the side of my shorts as I stare down. 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 My rubbing heightens in intensity, and so does the sound of the wind and the waves in my ear. The pebbles crush under my tennis shoes as I take a step closer to the edge. The first one is the hardest. But then it's like I'm floating on air. My arms open wide, and I close my eyes. As if I'm possessed by an alternate power, I don't recognize that I remain standing in place, or how my fingers itch to spray paint on something. Anything. I hope Mum won't see the last painting I did. I hope she won't remember me as the least talented of her kids. The disgrace who couldn't even reach the tip of her genius. The weirdo whose artistic sense is screwed up in all the wrong ways. I'm so sorry, I whisper. The words I think Devlin told me before he flew to nowhere. Light slips past the corner of my closed lids, and I startle, thinking that maybe his ghost has risen from the water and is coming after me. He'll tell me the words he snarled in every nightmare.
You're a coward, Glenn. Always were and always will be.
That thought spurs those images from the nightmares. I spin around so fast, my right foot slips, and I shriek as I tumble back, toward the deadly cliff. A strong hand wraps around my wrist and tugs with a force that steals the breath from my lungs. My hair flies behind me in a symphony of chaos, but my vision still zeroes in on the person holding me effortlessly with one hand. He doesn't pull me from the edge, though. And instead, keeps me at a dangerous angle that could get me killed in a fraction of a second. My legs shake, slipping against the tiny rocks and sharpening the angle I'm standing at, and the possibility of a fall. The person's eyes, a man, judging by his muscular frame, are covered by a camera that's slung around his neck. Once again, blinding light flashes directly on my face. So that's the reason behind the startling flash a moment ago. He's been photographing me. It's only then I realize that moisture has gathered in my eyes. My hair is a tragic mess of the wind's making, and the dark circles beneath my eyes could probably be seen from outer space. I'm about to tell him to pull me, because my position is literally on the edge, and I'm scared that if I try to do it myself, I'll just fall. But then, something happens. He slides the camera from his eyes, and my words get caught at the back of my throat. Since it's night, and only the moon offers any type of light, I shouldn't be able to see him so clearly. But I can. It's like I'm seated at the premiere of a film. A thriller. Or maybe a horror. People's eyes usually brighten with emotions, any type. Even grief makes them shine with tears, unsaid words, and irrevocable regrets. His, however, are as dim as the night and just as dark. And the weirdest part is that they're still indistinguishable from their surroundings. If I weren't staring straight at him, I'd think he was a creature of the wilderness. A predator. A monster, maybe. His face is sharp, angular, the type that demands undivided attention, as if he were created for the purpose of luring people into a carefully crafted trap. No, not people. Prey. There's a masculine quality.